Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Keekon Mike Howard. I'm the youth practice leader and a priest in training here at Clouds and Water Zen Center. It is August 18th, 2019, 9:36 a.m. Now, and the title of this talk is Youth Practice Song Time.
Yay!
Yay! Are you ready for something a little bit different?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a picture in my head of what Zen Buddhist practice looks like. And here's a picture that someone snapped during the opening of a youth practice session. You might notice a few differences. This picture is grades K through 6 towards the beginning of class during song time. That's me there leading with the ukulele. Hang on a second. And to the right is Toa Kurt Erickson helping with the hand gestures. Now, something to know before we get started here is that I have little musical ability. And before last year, I had never played a stringed instrument. And before 2 years ago, I had never worked with children. I considered myself a somewhat serious Zen student. And I didn't particularly like it when there was singing in the community. Proper Zen liturgy is chanting one note. Yeah. So the scene photographed here strikes me as a little bit like Nixon going to China. So what happened? Oh, you know, I don't have my lapel mic on. Maybe that will help us. I guess you could probably hear me anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're going to need this later. So what happened? Well, due to circumstances that are somewhat mysterious, I ended up leading the youth practice here at Clouds and Water Zen Center. And I noticed that since we didn't have anyone playing an instrument, our song time was kind of sad. And also, to be honest, the limited songs, number of songs we were singing were kind of boring. Our kids were telling us that, and after a lot of reflection, I realized they were right. Then, something interesting happened. One of our volunteer teachers, Leslie, had been to Dharma Camp in Portland, Oregon the previous year, and she kept telling me that they had different Dharma songs there, and the kids and teens really loved them, and we should really do something with them. I kind of blew this off for a while. I mean, what could I possibly do about it? We had a photocopy of some sheet music, something called the American Zen Buddhist Songbook. Sounded promising, but since I'm not a musician, it didn't really make much impression on me. But Leslie kept bringing it up, and eventually I decided that this might be worth a 15-second internet search. What I found astonished me. What I immediately found in my internet search was this album, Dharma Moon by Nat Needle. Nat wrote these songs in the 1990s at Ann Arbor Zen Center in Michigan, where they had a youth program. His idea was to create a new folk music for American Zen. For a long time, these songs were available only on cassette tape. Does everyone here know what a cassette tape is? Okay. At least by reputation. Or they were on sheet music. But just in the last few years, the album was put on the internet, and now suddenly it's available pretty much everywhere. So I listened, and the moment I actually heard these songs, I said to myself, oh, yes, that is obviously what we are doing this year. We are going to integrate these songs with the curriculum. Heck, we will rewrite the curriculum so that we can use these songs. And I am going to teach myself the ukulele so that I can do these songs with the kids. Now again, at the time, I had almost no musical skill and had not played a stringed instrument before, or was maybe just starting to learn at that point. But that is what we did. Our winter semester of youth practice really revolved around these songs in a major way. We finished the year with a closing ceremony where we shared the new songs that we learned with y'all, the adults in the community. And I want to continue that sharing today and explain a bit more about why I think these songs are important. So we'll be singing some songs that we've already been working with, and I'll be introducing some new ones that we may well be using in the fall semester, which is starting very soon on September 22nd. There's a picture of us at the closing ceremony, about 17 kids or something like that. A couple snuck up into the audience, or there would have been like 20 kids. But first, a little bit about Dharma Camp in Portland, Oregon. Can you see this? I got to go there in July, along with Leslie and four students from Clouds and Water, and it was an amazing experience. At the campsite, a bit outside of Portland, we had 47 children and teens from grades 4 through 12, 15 camp counselors, including myself, 6 cooks and assistant cooks, forming a Buddhist community. It really did feel like a Buddhist community, although one majority child-based. For a week, a whole week, 7 days. Parents drop off their kids and pick them up at the end. Each day starts at 7 a.m. in the Zendo, which was a room in the main lodge. All 47 children and teens were there on time every morning, doing about 20 minutes of Zazen, seated meditation, a little squirmy in some cases, but you know, these are children is, you know, just coming out of third grade in some cases. And they do some chanting after that. And the sitting and the chanting, just seeing that every morning with that group was an amazing experience in itself. Just to see that that was even possible to do was an amazing experience. And I think it's partly just the momentum. They've been doing that for like 20 years or something. So that's what they do when you go to Dharma Camp. After that, there is some work practice and breakfast, still in silence. And after breakfast, the silence is formally broken, usually with a game, you know, like Simon Says or something. And then for the rest of the day, there is a combination of scheduled activities and unstructured free time to play and build friendships. So it's summer camp, but with Dharma. As a guest camp counselor, I got to help out and bunk with 5 very young boys. I brought a couple activities from our own youth practice to share, including the Daruma Doll Project, or Bodhidharma Eggs, that we did last year, and the Bodhidharma Story, which went really well. You can see, this is a picture of us doing the activity, painting the eggs, and you can see the result down there at the bottom. Really nice, I thought. And at the end of every day, there's a campfire with songs, improvised skits, and games. This is one of the improvised skits. That's one of the younger kids on the shoulders of the abbot of Dharma Rain Zen Center doing some kind of sword fight. The relatively short gentleman there, because he doesn't have anyone standing on his shoulders, is Kakuan. He's the co-administrator who I was partnered up with when I was there. The abbot, who you cannot see because he is under the pink sheet, is Kakumio. If I have that right, hopefully. But anyway, they also do these songs. A lot of the songs they sing are from the Dharma Moon album. They also have some of their own songs. These songs are a way that we can bring the Dharma to an American audience in a new way. In a way that we can bring some of the atmosphere and fun of Dharma Camp to youth practice. They're fun, but also educational. The teens and adults really enjoy them along with the kids. So for the rest of the talk, I'd like to share some of these songs with you, and I encourage you to sing along. Let's see, now we gotta actually get into it here. This will be my first time playing the ukulele in an Oquesa. So this could be kind of wild. So let's start off with a couple of our simpler songs. One of the basic values that we practice together in youth practice and otherwise is respect. So we have this song, the Respect Polka. The word respect literally means to look at again. From the Greek, re means again. Spect is the same as in spectate or spectacles. Respect, that's where the word comes from, believe it or not. And that's what we mean here, actually, to look again at someone or something and appreciate them deeply. At the campfire on the first evening, they sing the song for new campers and counselors. And we do that in youth practice. We often sing the song for a new student or for anyone who could use a little respect. Or another way to do this is ask the crowd for an idea, like something we'd like to show some respect to, and then you do the song for that. Filling in the blank at the appropriate part of the song. So today, I'd like to express respect for all of us. I'll sing this through once, and then once you've got it, we can sing it together or jump in earlier if you're ready. So when we get to the part of the song where it says, "And then I make a bow," we all bow together. Please don't let me forget to do that, because sometimes I do. But that's the most important part, because that's one way we show respect in Buddhism. And when I ask bow wow wow, it's a question that you all respond with, "No, bow wow wow." And I have to insist that you be very emphatic about this, because that's how the kids do it. It's almost a little frightening how emphatic they are about no. Wow wow bow, that is the correct answer, okay? All right, this is actually one of the harder songs for me, so of course I'm starting off with this one. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The first time I see all of you, deep inside I go wow. And then I look at all of you again, and outside I go wow. I look at all of you a third time, bow. That's how I show respect for all of you, just like I'm doing now. Doggies may go bow wow wow, but people should go wow wow wow. If you want to learn to wow wow bow, just come along, I'll show you how. Bow wow wow.
No, no, wow wow wow.
Just come along, I'll show you how. Bow wow wow.
No, no, wow wow wow.
Good, just come along, I'll show you how. All right, one more time, everybody together. The first time I see all of you, deep inside I go wow. And then I look at all of you again, and outside I go wow. I look at all of you a third time, and then I make a bow. See, I forgot to do it the first time. You were supposed to remind me. That's how I show respect for all of you, just like I'm doing now. Doggies may go bow wow wow, but people should go wow wow wow. If you wanna learn to wow wow wow, just come along, I'll show you how. Bow wow wow.
No, wow wow wow.
Just come along, I'll show you how. Bow wow wow.
No, wow wow wow.
Just come along, I'll show you how. Yay! See how much fun that is? So one of the most popular songs in youth practice for many years has been Under That Bodhi Tree. Some of you may know this one. It's one of the more long-running ones. Also known as There's Old Buddha. We got this song via the Plum Village Songbook, but it turns out that it's on the Dharma Moon album too. Why? Because Nat wrote it. This is one of his songs that apparently broke through and was widely adopted in Buddhist communities, including Thich Nhat Hanh's communities, probably because it's too simple and catchy to resist. Also, you get to participate, so it may be popular for that reason. So, as part of the song, at the part of the song where we sing, "What would bother old Buddha, I wonder," someone from the audience gets to suggest something that might be bothersome. Okay, can be anything. With the kids, often this is the name of a video game that I don't recognize or understand. And often the kids enjoy saying something long that we then have to repeat in the song verbatim. Okay, this is part of the game. Then the adults pretend to be exasperated. Sometimes it's easy to pretend. But it's just pretending. It's very amusing. So think of something. And again, we'll sing this song twice so that you can get the hang of it. Some longer ones for next time, but otherwise very good. Or some confusing video games. So one of the most popular songs at Dharma Camp, which again is grades 4 through 12, is called Junk Mail. Do you know this one? It's especially popular with about grades 4 and up, including teens and definitely adults. This is a song about noticing feelings and ideas that come up and recognizing that we can hold them more lightly. We don't have to let negative self-talk define us. This is also sometimes called don't know mind, and we can use it to make our lives more relaxed and spacious, but also more energetic at the same time. So you'll see what I mean when we get to the song.
Kikan, can I help you with your strap?
Is it messed up? Thank you. That's much better. So for kids and teens today, the term pop-up notification might make more sense than junk mail, but the themes really are universal here. And junk mail is really what it is. It's these thoughts that are coming into our head. We're paying a lot of attention to them, but they're not actually that useful. You get it? mail. Mosey into my mental mailbox, it's junk mail. Stick it in the garbage pail. You don't have to hold it or unfold it. Don't have to read it or repeat it. Don't have to swallow it or follow it. Play the host, not the guest. Come on, baby, just give it a rest. You know, just because they found a clever way to put your name on it doesn't mean that it's for you. It's junk mail. Stick it in the garbage pail. You don't have to hold it or unfold it. Don't have to read it or repeat it. Don't have to swallow it or follow it. Play the host, not the guest. Come on, baby, just give it a rest. You know, just because they found a clever way to put your name on it doesn't mean that it's for you. It's junk mail. Stick it in the garbage pail. You don't have to hold it or unfold it. Don't have to read it or repeat it. Don't have to swallow it or follow it. Play the host, not the guest. Come on, baby, just give it a rest. You know, just because they found a clever way to put your name on it doesn't mean that it's for you. Junk mail. So every youth practice semester needs a theme song. Apparently. We discovered this last year. Last winter we were studying the Noble Eightfold Path, and our theme song was Truckin' on the Eightfold Path. Now, I'd like to tell you something about these songs. I've been studying Buddhism on and off for a long time. 27 years. More. And before last year, I could not have told you what the steps of the Eightfold Path were, or what the aspects of the Eightfold Path were. Hell, I might have not remembered the name Eightfold Path. But now I can. Did I just say a bad word? I'm sorry. Is it because I started studying them more seriously because I was doing youth practice? Well, yes, partly. But mostly it's because I was singing Truckin' on the Eightfold Path over and over and over again. So with that in mind, here is our theme song for the fall, the Paramita song. It's kind of long, so we might not do it all at one time in youth practice, but we're going to do it all today. And actually, the theme of the practice period for the whole community coming up is the Paramita, so this is a good song to know. It can help you here. The word Paramita is sometimes translated as reaching the other shore of Nirvana, which you'll hear referenced in the song. Sometimes they're described as the perfections. I feel like that can be a little bit intimidating or off-putting. And personally, I don't think it needs to be that way. I think that may actually be a mistake to present them in that way, in a way. In youth practice, we're going to be working with the Paramitas as a practical tool set that can be used by people of all ages. So if you have a problem, you can see which Paramita tool you pull out. You want to pull out to apply, like maybe apply a little generosity, or a little patience, or a little joyful effort, or a little meditation. And as it happens, the chorus of the song makes that very point. It's a Dharma teaching in a song. So be on the lookout for that. Okay. And you can sing along with the chorus, or if you get the kind of melody, you can sing along too. So we're going to learn the Paramitas today, class. Why try a little paramita. There's nothing sweeter than a little paramita. I know you want to get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar. Paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the first paramita is dana, generosity. It means give it away even when you don't wanna. Don't allow attachments to shrink your space. Just spill your being all over the place. That's dana paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little paramita. I know you wanna get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar. Paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the second paramita is sila, morality. In life situations, be a lover and a healer. Tell the truth and be everyone's amigo. Just as if you didn't have an ego. That's sila paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little paramita. I know you want to get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar. Paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the third paramita is kshanti, patience. Without it, your inferno would be worthy of Dante. Like the sun that shines on the mountain every day. Just enjoy the shine until the mountain melts away. That's Shanti Paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little Paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little Paramita. I know you want to get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar. Paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the fourth Paramita is Virya, joyful effort. The exertion of a falling leaf can steer ya. Every breath, every step that's taken is an opportunity to awaken. That's Virya Paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little Paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little Paramita. I know you wanna get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar, paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the fifth paramita is jhana, concentration. Face that wall and shout out hana. Stick to your practice, keep your concentration tighter, and let those thoughts flow through you like water. That's jhana paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little paramita. I know you want to get to that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar. Paddle your oar, paddle your oar. Now the sixth paramita is prajna, wisdom. If you think you're wise, you're full of prajna. But when you experience, I don't know, then natural wisdom is everywhere you go. That's prajna paramita for sure. Why don't you try a little paramita? There's nothing sweeter than a little paramita. To that other shore, but don't think about it, just paddle your oar, paddle your oar, paddle your oar. In the end, we all go, Bodhisattva! Like some kind of Zen Buddhist rodeo. Yay, very nice. Well done. That was just lovely. So question class, if you're getting too discouraged by chasing some idea of perfection, what do you do now?
You try a little harmonia.
Yeah? Paddle your oar is what I was looking for. Just paddle your oar, but that is also acceptable. All right, so last year, I actually wrote my first song, which was pretty popular with the kids, actually. It was a song about Bodhidharma to the tune of 80s pop hit Rock Me Amadeus by Falco, called Rock Me Bodhidharma. Quick funny story about that. The song came to me when I was actually supposed to be meditating in the morning, and I stopped meditating to like work on the song. So if Bodhidharma were still in his grave, he would probably be spinning in it. So I'm not going to do that song today. But imagine my mild surprise when I find out that I'm not the first person to take a goofy 80s pop hit and turn it into a Dharma song. In fact, this appears to be an emerging subgenre of Dharma songs. This next one was written by Inanna Henk, who was a student and a graduate of Dharma School in Portland. Okay, so this is a teen or young adult who wrote this song. And they sang this at Dharma Camp when I was there. It's one of their favorites. So may I present Ephemeral World to the tune of Material Girl by Madonna. Oops. Fun thing I got to do over the summer was co-teach an 8-week course. Oh, we're getting late here. On basic teachings of the Buddha with my friend Ruxin Jan Fryer over at Compassionate Ocean Zen Center in Minneapolis. This was kind of a deep dive into the early teachings, such as we understand them today. And frankly, I think that understanding is still evolving. So this was 2 hours every Wednesday evening, and every session before the break, we would sing a song that related to a sutra or a teaching that we were doing that week. And one session included the three poisons. Okay, these are one of the most early basic teachings. The three poisons are greed, hate, and delusion, or greed, anger, and delusion, or sometimes attachment, aversion, or neutrality, or various other translations are possible here, translations, interpretations. So here they are, the center of the Tibetan Wheel of Life and Death, which is kind of a visual representation of the teachings. But here's a fun fact. The Buddha sometimes referred to them as the three fires, not the three poisons. This makes a lot of sense with their position at the center of the wheel, because they are fundamental forces driving existence itself. Fire can be creative as well as destructive. And actually the same is true of poison to some extent. A poison in the correct dosage sometimes becomes a medicine, right? This is a fact that the Buddha probably knew perfectly well. There's a good song about the three poisons on Dharma Moon, but it's kind of long, so I wrote a new one. Again, to the tune of an 80s hit. This was like a couple weeks ago. We might use this year, as the paramitas now are the antidotes to the three poisons.
No.
You get this? Okay. In their toxic form. So, may I present three poisons to the tune of Tainted Love by Soft Cell. This isn't a world premiere, but it's close. This is like the second time I've done this song publicly. Share what is perhaps my very favorite Dharma song of all time, at least in the top three. It's actually based on a specific sutra from the Buddha's original teachings, the very famous Sermon of the Poisoned Arrow. So to paraphrase this sutra, what happens is basically a follower of the Buddha named Malukya suddenly realizes that there are questions that the Buddha has not answered, such as, is the universe finite or infinite? Is there a soul that exists independent of the body? Is there life after death? Today we might add, is there a god or gods? Do we possess free will? This is one I hear. So Malukya goes before the Buddha and demands answers to these questions, and says that, well, you should just tell me the answers or I'm going to leave the community. The Buddha responds, and forgive me, but I always kind of imagine just the barest hint of like a weary sigh in the Buddha's response. Malukya. Now, Malukya, did I ever tell you that I would answer these questions for you? And Malukya thinks about it and says, well, no. The Buddha says, now think carefully, Malukya. If I were to tell you the answer to these questions, would that actually alleviate your suffering in any way? And Malukya thinks about it and says, well, no. And the Buddha says something along the lines of, well then, Malukya, I think you're being a very silly person right now and perhaps should just go back to your meditation. But to drive the point home, I'm going to give you a little story or analogy. And here I'm going to quote from the actual sutra. I'm going to get some of the Pali Canon here. Here's the Buddha speaking, as recorded much later. It is, Malukya, as if a person would be shot by an arrow, thickly smeared with poison, and his friends, companions, and relatives would hire a physician to remove the arrow. But that person would say, I will not have this arrow removed until I know who shot it, whether he was of the upper, middle, or low class, his name and family. I want to know his name, whether he was tall, short, or of medium stature, whether he was black, brown, or light-skinned, whether he lived in such and such a town, village, or city, and until I know whether the bow that was used to shoot the arrow was a longbow or a crossbow, and until I know whether the bowstring that was used to shoot the arrow was made from the swallowwort plant, from sana hemp, sinu, maruva hemp, or from the bark of the kira tree, and until I know whether the shaft was made from wild or cultivated wood, and until I know whether the feathers on the shaft were those of a vulture, a crow, a hawk, a peacock, or a stork, and until I know whether the sinew used to wrap the shaft was from a cattle, a water buffalo, a deer, or a monkey, and until I know whether the arrow that was used to wound me was razor-tipped, curved, tubular, calf-toothed, or oleander. Well, says the Buddha, Malukya, all of this would remain unknown to that person, Malukya, and in the meantime, that person would die. Now, I learned some interesting things from doing this basic Buddha teachings of the Buddha class, really too many to get into today, but I wanted to share perhaps the single most important thing I learned, in my opinion. And that is, between clunky translations and our projections about what so-called religious texts are supposed to be like, we may often miss something really basic about this sutra that's like right in front of our faces, and that is, it's funny. I heard some laughter in the crowd as a few Western scholars seem to be catching on to this, that there is more humor in the Buddhist teachings than most of us realize. It's subtle, even sly, but it is there. And that somehow despite the fact that the Buddha's teachings were only written down long after he died by some very serious people. So try to imagine for a moment the Buddha actually delivering this sermon in front of a community, and he's going like through this long list of things, you know, slowly and carefully delineating exactly how crazy we all are. Can you imagine some chuckles from the audience? So something to think about. So that said, I think this next song, our last song, we might go slightly long here, actually captures both the humor and practicality of this sermon in a really clever way. So let's sing Pull the Arrow Right Out. You can join in on the chorus. It'll be like really obvious where. Love this one.
Everybody now, pull explain when you're discriminating brain won't nullify the feeling of doubt. So stop ruminating, start meditating, and pull the arrow right out. Everybody, pull the arrow right out. Pull the arrow right out. Pull the arrow right out. A little higher. Pull the arrow right out. What's it like to die? Kind of fool am I? Pull the arrow. Pull the arrow right out. Last verse, very important clarification. There are people at the university who might think that this song is anti-intellectual. The point is not to disparage cognition, but to admit there are matters where it's ineffectual. So if you like electronics or plate tectonics, then a little knowledge is nice. But if you want liberation or emancipation, then take the Buddha's advice. What he said was, pull the arrow right out. Pull the arrow right out. Stop your agonizing and your criticizing. And your analyzing what it's all about. All that you explain with your discriminating brain won't nullify that feeling of doubt. So if you had enough of that crazy suffering, pull the arrow right out. Meditating and pull the arrow right out. Oh, the way is narrow, so cut to the marrow and pull the arrow right out.
Alright, so it's 10:23.
One more song.
Well, I defer to the Eno.
Sure, one more song.
Well, does anybody have, so we go until what, like 10:20, 10:25?
10:20.
10:20, okay, so we're really late.
Yeah.
One.
You better wrap it
really
up.
Late.
Okay. So, let me just conclude. So, these songs fill a role similar to Buddhist liturgy, actually, in that we sing them over and over so that we can absorb a lesson. Kind of feel like I'm taking the fun out of it there, but there is that there. This is kind of like Sesame Street for Buddhists. Okay, and college students, I've seen college students watching Sesame Street. Sometimes you just need to like go back to basics. And they work. Often now when I find myself facing a problem or, you know, a big challenge, I remember a song that gives me some advice what to do. So my hope is that for some kids, if in the future they remember nothing else from youth practice, they might remember Trucking on the Eightfold Path, or the Paramita song, or like any of the others. That's basically why we're doing these songs. So youth practice grades K through 6, and the teen group starts on September 22nd, and Zen Family Practice starts on September 15th. I have flyers outside the classroom, and also the combined youth and family practice calendar is there. Just outside the classroom. Pre-registration is required for grades K through 6 in the teen group, and that registration is now open on the website. However, we encourage people to try a class with their kids if they haven't been to one before or you know, curious but not sure. In that case, you just need to talk to me or email me first. And Zen Family Practice doesn't require registration. It's a bit more drop-in because it's a lot harder to wrangle preschoolers. So it's much more irregular who can show up. So it's a bit more drop-in, but it's helpful there too if you can let me know if you're coming. So also, youth practice depends on your support. So please consider making a donation today, or also volunteering is very helpful. I happen to be looking for a couple more people to help out with youth practice, either on a regular basis or as in a fill-in kind of capacity. So if that's something that you would be interested in and you've been in the community a little while, please come chat with me or email me. So at this point, we do not have time for comments or questions, so no questions, except I will be around afterwards, so please come and chat.
Okay. All right, the closing chant is in your program. May our intention equally penetrate every being in place with the true merit of the Buddha's way.
Beings are numberless, I bow to free them. Illusions are inexhaustible. of all, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable, I vow to realize it. Beings are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to rend them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable, I vow to realize it. Beings are numberless, I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them.
Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable.